This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you're a collector, you understand the thrill of adding an item that's not only rare, but historically significant. Well, late last month, the Missouri Botanical Garden accepted a very special donation that elicited much excitement. Two of the first editions of naturalist Mark Catesby's groundbreaking studies titled The Natural History of Carolina, Florida, and the Bahama Islands. Only 200 were printed and fewer than 100 first editions are known to still exist, and they are now part of the rare books collection at the garden's Peter H. Raven Library, where they are being restored and made available to view by appointment. Joining us to share what a big deal these texts are and the rare book collection they've joined at Missouri Botanical Garden, we have Holly Huben-Schmidt, Library Director of the garden's Peter H. Raven Library. Holly, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the donation of these two texts is really significant for a variety of reasons, and this includes the person who wrote and illustrated these books. So beginning with that, who is Mark Catesby, or Catesby, and why is he such a big deal?
Catesby was an Englishman who was one of the early explorers as far as the natural history of North America. And in his travels, he received some funding to develop these books to capture the plants and the animal life of this part of the New World. Mm-hmm. So he traveled for years, made amazing paintings, and then went home to England and began engraving and publishing the book.
How did Catesby's works, including the ones that we're talking about, the natural history, and the dates that I left out in that very long title,
yes,
was 1731 to 1743. How did Catesby's works impact the world of science?
It was huge at the time. A lot of books up to this point that related to plants really dealt with plants that people knew. They knew what was growing in their garden, in their yards, what they used for medicines. These were plants and animals that people in Europe had never seen before. And so to be exposed to this was really exciting, mm-hmm, for the population.
Talk to us a little bit about what is in these books and what they look like.
They are two very large books. They're the size of a poster that you might have had on your bedroom wall as a teenager, thick, leather-bound, and they include images. One side of the page is images. The other side would be a description. Every page has a plant and an animal on it. So there's one volume that's primarily birds with a plant on each page, perhaps a tree that bird would frequent, rice if they were something that would eat rice, and then also fish and reptiles in the second volume, but they're seen in the context of the environment, so the plants that they would have interacted with.
Mm-hmm. And these are hand-painted or hand-colored as well, right?
Yes, yes. They were done with copper plate engraving and then hand-colored.
How did these books, you know, get to you? So who donated them?
We are so grateful. So these were donated by a St. Louis native named D.C. Gray. She now lives in Washington, D.C., but she was born and raised in St. Louis and acquired this book through her first husband, her late husband, Burton Gray. It was in his family. And she wanted to give it to an institution that would value it, that would make it available to the public in exhibitions and things, and to do it in honor of her husband and her parents, mm-hmm, who were St. Louisans all their lives.
When news came that these books were going to be donated to the Peter H. Raven Library, what was the response internally? I mean, was there, you know, was it announced by email? Like, were there just a few of you who knew?
It was primarily staff in the library and staff in our development office working through the process to make sure we could honor all of DC Gray's wishes related to the donation. And when word came through, it was just amazing. This is something that it's a once in a lifetime, if ever, thing for a librarian to be part of a donation like this. Mm-hmm. It's so scientifically important, historical, and just of such significance for our collection.
Was there a message that Mrs. Gray also sent with the books?
There was a lot of conversation around the books, just really about how much she believes in books, in libraries, and how much she feels it's important for this not to be just stuck on a shelf somewhere, mm-hmm. but really to be put out there. So there were a lot of, it wasn't one message, more conversations.
Do you have any sense of how her husband's family came into these books?
I honestly do not know. I believe it was her husband's grandfather who had it. They were Carolina natives, so very much in an area where Catesby did his work.
Mm-hmm. It must have been quite something to keep those books in good condition.
Yes, yes. Over time, it is very difficult. The paper at that time is amazing how well it holds up. But things like leather deteriorate, the covers become detached. So there is quite a bit of work to be done to conserve these items mm-hmm. so we can make them available to researchers.
So as I understand, these new Catesby editions, they're not the first Catesby text to be entered into Mobot's library, right?
Correct, correct. This publication was published in three editions. We owned the second edition and the third edition, but we lacked the first edition, and now we have the complete set.
And what is the difference beyond, you know, the time at which these were published?
It was published over a long period of time. Because these were hand-engraved and because there was not a strong publishing industry that would fund, you know, front some money to the author, pay for things to be illustrated and colored, Catesby had to come up with that money himself. So he found subscribers, and then he would issue the book in small segments. So over time, people would get this. Everyone's a little bit different because they are hand-colored. But then with subsequent editions, he had more funds to pay people in workshops to do the coloring. So the first edition is the one we know he most directly had his hands involved with. Mm-hmm.
Literally had his hands.
Yes.
And from what I understand, I had done a little bit of research about Catesby and how long it took to complete the whole thing. And it was initially like 4 months per issue. And yes. It ended up being 16 years.
Yes, yes. It really did become a life's work.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Holly Hubenschmidt. She's the library director at the Peter H. Raven Library at the Missouri Botanical Garden and a recent acquisition through donation of the first edition of a seminal natural history book that is all about the flora and fauna of North America. The first one, I believe. When you receive books like these, how do you go about verifying that they are, in fact, you know, first editions or whatever edition has been attributed to them?
That's a very good question. We did work with, on DC's end, Ms. Gray's end, she worked with the Smithsonian to look at the book so that they could give us some insights, and they affirmed it was a first edition. It was complete. And then she did get an appraisal before she made the donation, so we had a value. Even the shipping was a whole new experience for me.
I was wondering about that.
We contacted our friends over at the art museum and said, how do you do this? Who do you use to ship art? And they gave us the names of some companies, and our book conservator that we have on staff worked closely with them to ensure that the books were packaged really even more carefully than they would have. And they were extremely careful, mm-hmm. but extra steps were taken to protect the books.
It almost sounds like they should come under cover of it.
Yes.
What is the value of these editions that you've acquired?
It's six figures.
Oh, wow.
It's quite a lot of money mm-hmm. for a book.
And it's great to hear that there was like inter-institutional collaboration and cooperation to get them here.
We're very active with our friends in the Zoo Museum District, so mm-hmm. it's wonderful when we can help each other out.
What are some of the other big names in plant science whose work can be found in the Peter H. Raven Library?
We have quite a bit. We have a number of Linnaeus's books, first edition of Carl Linnaeus, who was kind of the father of plant naming. So that's critically important to us. We have the first edition Darwin on the Origin of Species. And then because the garden has such a long history, there are books that were published. John Muir, when he wrote his National Parks book, he was friends with the director of the garden at the time and sent an inscribed copy, which we have in our collection. So through various means, we've acquired some true treasures.
So what are the other ways that books are acquired? So these Catesby books have come through donation.
Yes.
Is that, for the most part, how you add to the collection?
We do have a purchasing budget, and we do purchase about 1,000 new titles a year. So we're very grateful that we're able to grow at that rate to support our researchers and researchers around the world. We do accept gifts. Often there are gifts that we already have because our collection is so comprehensive. But we have exchange partners around the world, and we'll often find good homes for those books that we can't accept.
Mm-hmm. This collection and what has just been added, I understand that you have come to the library not too long ago.
That is true. I've just been there about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And after a decades-long career in libraries, I thought I knew everything about libraries. And this has been such a learning experience for me to come to a comprehensive research library and learn. I'm just learning so much every day. It's a dream.
What are some of the things that you have been learning through working with these Catesby books in particular?
I was in an academic library before, so we were working really with electronic resources because getting students access to the materials was most critical. And here, the Catesby is a perfect demonstration of the print. The paper is so important. We need to take care of it. We need to make sure that all of these books that we have can be used. So they have to be in a condition that can be used. Mm. And then our book conservator teaches me so much because this is not an area that I had any expertise in about what's required to match the leather, to process any page repairs, all of that.
Our producer, Maya Norfleet, mentioned something about the leather and where it comes from and some of the questions that have come up about how some of the books in the entire collection are bound.
This is, the Catesby is a calfskin binding, but our conservator has taught me that goatskin is the best leather to use for books. Mm-hmm. So we will honor the history of the book. And when the binding is repaired, any repairs will be done with the calfskin. But if you have something that comes to us totally unbound, goatskin is the one that's going to last the longest.
Mm-hmm. The difference between conservation and preservation is something that is important, right?
It's very important. And we have a conservation librarian who's also our preservation officer. And preservation is preventing harm to the books, protecting the books. So she does everything from manages bug traps to make sure we don't have an insect infestation. The temperature, the humidity is low and the lights are very low, to vacuuming the rare book room. It's it's a carpeted room, and we want to make sure that everything that needs to be prevented is prevented. And then she can handle damage that is done with her repairs, but it's much easier to prevent the damage than to have to do the repairs.
On that note, is there a process of digitization that is part of not only, you know, preserving the materials themselves, but the content that's in it?
Yes, and we are so proud of these efforts. 20 years ago, the library received a very large grant and entered into an agreement to help found a website called the Biodiversity Heritage Library. And it's still a group that we're very active with today. And at that point, we began scanning materials in the rare book room that were out of copyright, but were these treasures that people needed to refer to. And people around the world, we invite researchers to come to St. Louis, but there are many places in the world where that's just not feasible. So today there are millions and millions of pages available online, and a lot of that has been contributed. A lot of the botanical content has been contributed by Missouri Botanical Garden.
How does the Peter H. Raven collection compare to other collections, whether they are at botanical gardens or at research institutions, whether that's across the United States or even at the global level?
I'm glad you said global. Worldwide, we're one of the three most important botanical libraries in the world. We jockey with our friends at New York Botanic and at the Royal Botanic Garden at Kew to joke about who's the best, but the three of us have the most comprehensive collections in the world. And it's just amazing that one of them is right here in St. Louis.
Is there any particular book that you have found really compelling or interesting?
I feel like this changes the more I learn, since I am still relatively new there. But there is a book called A Curious Herbal, which has a wonderful backstory and was written by a woman in the early 1700s and illustrated by her as well, by Elizabeth Blackwell. And right now I'm just having so much fun learning more about her and enjoying that book. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure I'll learn about something else next week and that will knock her off the top of my list.
We talked with the most prolific botanical taxonomist not too long ago.
Dr. Crow.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of power there at Missouri Botanical Garden. Has anyone been by to see the Catesby books?
So far, we've only really shown it to press at this point. We've had a few journalists in to take a look, including the producer here. Mm-hmm. But right now, one volume is in the conservation lab, and really the other volume needs treatment too. And that can be a lengthy process. So we feel like it's probably going to take over a year before both volumes are ready to be made available to the public. Mm-hmm. But at that point, if a researcher is interested, they'll be able to contact us and we can set up an appointment for them to view the book.
And what do people need to know about making such an appointment?
They really just need to reach out to us. Library@mobot.org is probably the easiest way, and let us know what they're researching, what they want to do, and we'll work out some dates and times and bring them in.
Is there something that is particularly rewarding about seeing people interact with the books that are in this rare collection?
Absolutely, absolutely. Being able to connect people to the knowledge that they seek has always been a wonderful part of being a librarian. But then to connect them to something that might be 400 years old or older and have them find what they need, it's just a joy.
Mm-hmm. And to conclude with Catesby, what is your favorite image from the books?
There's a bird called the rice bird, and it is something. Catesby was one of the first people to identify that birds migrate, and it was through the work of the rice bird. He saw it in the Carolinas in the rice fields. And then months later, when he was in the Bahamas and the rice was beginning to ripen, he saw the birds there and he began to connect in his mind that they are moving and not just hibernating through the winter. They are actually moving around the world. So mm-hmm. I think that rice bird is awfully fun right now.
Mm-hmm. Any last words for those who would be curious about visiting?
Oh, if you are interested in visiting, we do offer quarterly tours through our education department. The next one is in early October.
We'll put that on the calendar.
Yes, yes. And come to the garden, even if you can't come to the library.
Holly Hubenschmidt is the director of the Peter H. Raven Library at Missouri Botanical Garden. Thank you so much for joining us today.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.